Let's begin with Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse number 1. It says this, For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. And again he went out the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." We'll stop there just for a second, because so far it seems pretty normal. So far it seems this parable seems very straightforward, no surprises. But something surprising is going to happen starting in verse number 8. So verse number 8 says this. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those who came, who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have only worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go away. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. This actually, it might be against our logic, and certainly it is. For almost everyone in this situation would almost have that exact same reaction as those who worked all day and got the same as those who worked an hour. But this parable actually applies to most of us at some time in our lives. It's surprising how this parable actually does apply to our lives. Even if you're not a day laborer or something like that, this parable applies to our life in many, or in a few very specific ways. There's many lessons that can be learned. We're going to concentrate on one, which God put on my heart today. But you can't, at first you might shrug this one off and say, I don't get it, there's nothing really to learn. But there is, because it does apply to us in many, many ways. We, as a society, are taught very often to operate on a works mentality. I work this long, I'm going to get paid for that many hours. I do a lot of work, I should get compensated for my work. This is basically our whole labor system. The more I work, the more I am rewarded for my work. We work on this cause and effect. I do something and I expect something. We work on that principle very, very often. The more I do, the more I expect. If I do something good, then I expect more. We have this cause and effect expectation that goes along with what we do very often. But God, very often, because this parable starts out saying this is the way the kingdom of God is, He operates on grace. He operates on the measure of grace, and He gives grace abundantly. And grace, when you think about grace, we all know, or we've all probably heard something like the definition of grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved. Now, we've probably heard that word and we've used that word in many cases and many sentences and in many contexts. But to understand that it means undeserved. So that means you take away everything that you should get. That means you take away everything that you expect because you don't deserve anything if it's grace. Grace is independent of what you deserve. These men are all operating on I deserve. These men are all laboring under the condition that I deserve wages. And if he works for an hour and I work for 10 hours, I should get 10 times the wages. And that makes sense in the world mentality, but it makes no sense. It doesn't apply at all to grace. It doesn't apply at all to grace, and if you think it does, you have a misunderstanding of what grace is. Because grace says it's given to you regardless of what you deserve. And he's telling them, he's showing them this principle of grace, and this actually comes up much more often than we would even think. Not that somebody's getting more wages than you, but it applies in so many other cases. The interesting thing is, if you look at verse 8, remember the sequence? He goes and he hires all these people at the first hour, and then he hires a bunch more at various hours throughout the day. Whatever, the 3rd, the 6th, the 9th, the 11th. And then he says, he's very specific about what he does. He says, go and pay the last ones first. I want to make sure that the guys who have worked all day see that the last ones get the same amount. He could have avoided all the controversy and said, just pay the first guys first and they'll be out of the way by the time the last guys get their money and then we won't have any controversy, we won't have any trouble. But he goes out of his way to say, pay the last ones first. Because he wants them to learn this lesson about grace. And the reality is, grace is wonderful when you receive it. Grace is amazing. We sing that song, Amazing Grace, and it is amazing grace. That's why we're saved. We're saved by His grace, not because we deserved it. We're saved by His grace. Grace is amazing when we receive it. But when somebody else receives it, and we think we should, it's not so amazing anymore. Sometimes grace could be offensive, as it is in this case. Sometimes grace, when I don't receive it and I think I deserve it, and somebody else receives grace and they're like in the exact same boat as me, it could be very offensive. We could have similar reactions as to these men. Say, why? Why not me? What's coming to me? I thought I worked pretty hard. I worked in the heat of the day all day. I worked for 10 hours. Do you mean to tell me if I would have showed up at the last hour, I would have gotten the same thing as well? And they're offended. They're upset. They're frustrated. Because grace, when it's not given to you and you think you deserve it, can be very offensive. It's wonderful for the person who worked only 1 hour. He's happy. He's really good. He's singing the praises of that landowner. The other guys, they're questioning. What is the issue? Why is this happening? And this happens in us very often in many different ways. Many times you have a prayer before God. And that prayer might not get answered for you,
Even though you're doing all the right things, you're trying to follow God, you're praying, you're reading the Word, you're trying to follow everything to the letter of the law, you're trying to do everything. And then you see somebody else who's not even a follower of God. You see somebody else who doesn't even care. Doesn't even try. And they have the same request, and maybe they're not even praying, but yet God in His grace gives them the answer. And you don't get an answer. And you say, God, why? Why? I don't understand. Why them? Why do they get that? They don't even call out to you. They don't even bother making an effort. How come their prayers get an answer? Or how come they don't even pray? How come they get an answer? And I don't. And remember, we have to keep that in mind. Grace is undeserved. It's not because you deserve it that you get grace sometimes. Now let me make a huge distinction. There are biblical principles that if you follow them, God's word is true. So there are biblical principles that if you follow them, you will see the end result that the Bible promises. Right? So if you go through Proverbs, you'll see all kinds of these. You'll see all kinds of things. You'll see how the Bible talks about the ant and it prepares during the good times for the times that are bad. He's saying, yeah, prepare yourself. Get yourself there. Don't be slothful. And if you do that, then you can expect to be ready when the times are tough. Because it's a biblical principle. And he even tells them, I'm going to give you what's right. I'm going to do... So he's basically saying, what I tell you, I'm going to give you. I told you you're going to receive a denarius, you're going to receive a denarius. A denarius is about a day's wages. I told you that's what you're going to... what to expect, and that's what you're going to get. Biblical principles are true. Biblical principles, you follow them, they're true. But sometimes, people get the grace of God even if they're not following biblical principles. And that is the grace of God upon them. And sometimes, the grace of God can make us wonder, why not me? Why do they get all this? You could even think, how come they're successful in life? They're not even following biblical, they don't even have biblical character, and yet they seem to be successful. They seem to be prospering. They seem to be getting ahead. They're making more money than me, and I would certainly use it for godly things, and they're not using it for anything godly. It's the grace of God. He chooses who to give what to. Biblical principles still hold, but still God's grace is undeserved. It's not something that we can earn. And sometimes we lose sight of that grace, especially when we see others getting it. There's this, some of you maybe know the old composer Mozart. He was like a child prodigy. Hardly ever, didn't need to practice, didn't need to put in massive hours to refine his technique. He was just a God-given gift. He was, from the time he was 9 years old, when we took our trip overseas into Italy this year, we actually seen the hall where Mozart first performed at the age of nine. Doing concerts at 9 years old, this is a God-given gift. And there are reports, and they might be fictitious, but anyway, there's this man named Scaleri, and he was a man watching Mozart, observing his life, and he was very disciplined, and he was doing everything the way most people have to do it, putting in the time, putting in the hours, putting in the sweat, putting in the labor. And yet he knew he wasn't as good as this little kid. But they didn't have to do anything. And that's sometimes how we are. We're like that older man wanting to be able to play the piano, but then some little kid comes on and some other person comes on and doesn't even try. Doesn't even put in any effort. Doesn't need to do anything. And yet, he's gifted and graced by God. He can just play. He just get. And the older man has the opportunity, there is a path where he can be very offended. I am doing everything I can. I'm putting in hours each day to try and accomplish something. I'm doing as much as I can, as often as I can. I'm following the book. I'm following the course that's prescribed. I'm following the usual routine, but yet I am not progressing nearly as much as this other. And that is the grace of God. And sometimes it's even more dramatic. Sometimes the people that God graces, they might be just doing wrong. They might just be doing wrong. Sometimes they might think they're better. God answered my prayers. He didn't answer your prayers. I must be better than you. It's a normal thing to go through the fleshly mind. I'm better than you are. Look, my prayers got answered. Your prayers didn't get answered. My prayers God hears. Your prayers God doesn't hear. Look, mine are answered. Yours are not. It could even be that. They might even think that they're right in an issue too. Look, this justifies me. God has blessed me. I'm justified. They might not say it that bluntly, but often people have that thought in their mind somewhere. Look, God has promoted me here. God has advanced me here. God has prospered me here. That means that all the stuff that I've done in the past, I was right. It could be. And probably if you search hard enough, you might find somebody or some example of that in your life. Could be just the grace of God. Sometimes those things are true. Sometimes the effect of fervent prayer, maybe we don't pray effectively enough. I'm not saying that's a way it is in every case. But sometimes we just lob up a prayer to God, see what happens. Sometimes we don't make an effort that's needed for every single need. Please don't hear that that's the, if you don't get an answer to prayer, that's why. It's not. But sometimes it might be. Right? The Bible even tells us when the disciples of Jesus went to cast out a demon out of the boy, and Jesus told them, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So they didn't have the right lifestyle. They didn't have the right mode. So it does happen sometimes. It does happen every time. So don't be offended by that statement. I know that. I want to be very careful that you hear what I'm saying. And so, regardless of what, even when God answers in these cases, sometimes people feel like, oh, God is pleased with me. He must not be pleased with you. I got an answer to prayer. You didn't get the same answer. God is pleased with me. He's not so happy with you. And that could be. And it doesn't seem to matter to the landowner at this point. He doesn't seem to make a big case about correcting that thought. And oftentimes, when we say, I deserve this, I deserve this, we're comparing against one another. We're comparing, I have this, they have this. We are about equals. We're an apples to apples comparison. So I should get what that person gets. We're comparing. And to that, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10, this is one application of this verse in 10:12. 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says this, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." The Bible tells us, don't compare yourselves to one another. You're always going to. You're always there. There is so much room for misunderstanding. There is so much room for not getting what's really going on. Don't compare yourselves. When you do compare yourselves, when you do measure yourselves by what's happening in somebody else's life, it's not wise. He tells us, you're setting yourself up for a fall. You're setting yourself up for a disappointment. You may be even worse. You might even turn angry over it. Comparing one against another is not a good idea, according to what the Bible says. Don't measure yourself by what somebody else gets. Don't compare yourself to what somebody else is getting. Don't do it. Saying, leave it alone. It's not a good idea. It is a very unwise idea. So why does this happen? We won't fully know all the time, but the Bible gives us some clues. Sometimes God is just drawing people. Remember that verse in Romans 2:4, it says, His kindness leads to repentance. His goodness leads to repentance. Sometimes God just blesses people who you would say they don't deserve it, just to draw them close to Him. His kindness leads to repentance. And maybe you say, well, I haven't seen that. Leave that to God. Leave that to Him to sort out. His kindness leads people to repentance. His grace could lead people to repentance. Where we think, what about me? God's thinking, I want to draw them. I want to be gracious to them. I want to be loving. It shows His amazing love that He says, regardless of what you do. Remember, we talk about so often that God's love is unconditional. It's the same thing. It's the same principle as grace. Unconditional means there's no stipulations on it. It's undeserved. Whether they do or don't do good things, His love is still there. It's a part of his amazing love, which just says, I love you regardless of what you do and what you don't do for me. His grace in this type of situation shows that His love is amazing. His love is beyond what is normal for us. We often are very much loving people based on conditions. If you do something good for me, I really love you. If you do something bad, then I might tolerate you. This is the way you hear people talk. This is the way you listen to conversations of people, and especially people that have been hurt. Well, I don't want to talk to that person anymore. I don't want to see that person anymore. I'm fine as long as I don't see them. I'm fine as long as I don't have to talk to them. I'm fine as long as they're not in my life. That's not fine. That's not the love of God. God's love is, He's fine even if they are not even doing anything for Him. He still loves them. And that's the love that God says we should have one for another. Not just here, Because it's easy, often very easy, to love people that are all on the same page. The Bible tells us that. It's easy to love those of your family, and we are all part of the family of God. It's often difficult to love those that are so different than us, who believe different, who think different, who argue with us on almost every single point. His kindness leads to repentance. And grace, this kind of offensive grace, is really also can be used as an object lesson for your salvation. Think of it this way. We have all been given grace beyond what we deserve. Our salvation is way beyond what we deserve. We have been given a treasure. We have been made children of God. We have been given gifts according to what the Bible tells us. And oftentimes we don't use them. Oftentimes we take what God has given a little bit for granted. I'll give him a little bit. I'll give him this. I'll squeeze him in. I'll squeeze him into my life. And we have all been like those 11th hour workers. We get by. We do what we have to do. We do sometimes the minimum. We don't do anything extravagantly. We have been given that form of grace. Our salvation and everything that goes along with it is that kind of grace, that 11th hour grace. How many of us can say we have done all that we can for God? How many of us have said, we have spent everything in our lives, all our money, our time, our talents, everything is used all on God. Sure, you have bills. I understand that. Yeah, I got that. I'm not talking about the essentials, things that you need to live. But we've been given so much. And yet often, we give back sparingly. We have been given so much grace. And often, we don't give and use it all for God. But Paul even talks about this. He says, the grace that you have given me, God, was not given in vain. We could actually be recipients of grace, and that grace could go in vain. He says it in two different places in the Bible. The grace that you've given me was not given in vain. I will work. He actually says, I'll work harder than anybody. I'll do more than anybody. He actually is saying, I'm going to work so hard with the grace that you've given me. I'm going to do whatever I can, as often as I can, to as many people as I can. I'm going to do that all. Because your grace is not going to go in vain on me. And often, when we see others prospering where we think that we should be prospering, we should turn it around and say, what am I doing? How has God's grace been given to me and I am not using it to the best of my abilities? It is an object lesson right there in front of us to say how good God has been to us. How good God has been to us. There's a few other things that he says. He tells them. In verse number 15, he says, is your eye evil because I am good? When we see others getting what we think we should also have, we're tested. Are we going to be jealous of them? It tests the heart. It tests what's inside. It tests what goes on inside the heart. It is a great litmus test for what's really in there. Do you get jealous over those things? Do you get angry over those things? Maybe you get angry at God. Maybe you get angry at the person. Maybe you pull back and say, "Well, if that's the way it is, I'm going to temper what I do for God. I'm going to pull back a little bit because I don't understand." It is a great test of what is in your heart, how you react in these circumstances. And so he says, "Is your eye evil?" because I'm good? Is what's going on inside of you not good because I am good? Is what's happening in your heart not good? And is that exposed because I'm doing good? And often that's exactly what happens. But we miss it because we're so concentrated on what's going on in the other person. We're so concentrated on the inequity between the two. We're so much focused on why didn't I get and how come he did and does that person really deserve and shouldn't they really get something different? I miss the fact that God is trying to expose something in our heart. Is your eye evil because I am good? And then the last thing, I'll have the worship team, if you could please come on back up here now. The last thing he says, which is a very interesting statement, he says, so the last will be first, the first will be last, for many are called, but few chosen. It doesn't seem to apply. It doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the thought. Maybe God is saying, you have to learn how to be properly react to this kind of grace given to others and not given to you. Maybe you have to learn how to accept that everything will not go your way. Maybe you have to accept that everything is not going to be given to you. Maybe you have to accept that there might not be things that to your eye look like they are fair in this life. In the next life, everything will be fair. Maybe we have to accept that because he says, he seems to be implying that if you want to be chosen, you have to be able to handle this properly. You have to not let it, you have to let it not derail you. You have to be able to get through this and come out with the right heart. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's a difference between being called and being chosen. There are many people that have callings that they do not fulfill. And you could look at many examples. A very simple example is there are probably many people who were called, not necessarily here, but throughout the church in general, the larger church. Many people are probably called to do missionary work. Many people are called to do some sort of pastoral work. Many people might be called to do evangelistic work. But yet, they don't fulfill their calling. And you could just even look through all the people that have come and gone and are no longer around us and no longer walking with the Lord. God has a call for them. God has a call for every single one of them. His word tells us that. We are guaranteed that. His word tells us. He had a plan for them before time began. But they are not walking in it. So they are called, but they're not chosen. Because they have decided to take themselves out of the running. They were called, but they're not chosen. Being chosen is, I'm ready for the job. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. We could see that in the lives of the prophets. You read Isaiah 6, where he gets this heavenly vision, and it's six chapters into Isaiah, and finally, God asks the question, "Who am I going to send to the world?" And Isaiah says, "Okay, send me." And God says, "Okay, it's time then. You're chosen now. Go." But it's a time he's ready at this point. He's gone through the process, and maybe understanding this type of grace and being able to accept this type of grace is part of the choosing process. You need to be able to handle this to move forward to a different level in God's kingdom. I'm not saying you'll be stunted right where you are now. Everyone is at a different place. But eventually we have to be able to handle this grace that is given to others where maybe we think we deserve it. God's grace is amazing. It's amazing when we receive it, and it has a purpose in our lives when we don't receive it as well. It has a purpose, and God has a plan for it in our lives, even if we don't get what we wanted. God knows how to work all that stuff out. We just have to say, God, your will be done. I don't understand it. Like these workers, we don't understand. But we're going to be okay with it. We're going to be okay with it, God. Because we know that you have a greater plan for my life, for our lives. And someday we'll see. But right now, we'll trust you, even though we don't understand. His name be praised. Why don't y'all stand?